Dente Rigamortis. I'm Review Cultist.
I'm Mikey, the East End Feeble.
And I'm the Gamer in Yellow.
And we're here to discuss those internet stories, most creepy and most pasta, and be critically silly doing it. And tonight we have The Couch. Dun dun dun!
Ready to be scared, everybody?
So, we need a little bit of backstory for this one. Because Review Cultist here went on a little bit of a rabbit hole. again, not as deep as a rabbit hole as we did with Redman, but I did find some interesting information about this story. So The Couch, we're covering The Couch because
are we covering The Couch in like a new upholstery? Is it worn out? This couch?
Yeah, we gotta get it refurbished and stuff like that. Yeah, gotta get rid of that tacky 1970s like flower decor.
Yeah.
So we found the couch through there's a Reddit post out there where somebody made a comprehensive iceberg tier list of like the definitive creepypasta. And at the very bottom of the iceberg tier, I believe either the second last one or the very last tier, among all the other very obscure ones that I actually think we have never covered, like half of the ones that were at the very bottom of this tier, there sat The Couch. And we all kind of laughed at it, like, kind of, because it was like, what the fuck, like, oh my god, it's gonna
it's
be
such a an unassuming like, name compared to all the it's an oddity.
And like we cracked some jokes and such of that about it, and like, oh yeah, we're definitely gonna do this just for like a lark, because you know it's not exactly April Fool's, but I mean, we're getting close to it as of this recording and like the story getting posted. But like, I then read the story. I was like, oh, this isn't funny. This isn't silly at all, really. No. Actually, this might have some teeth to it, or nails, or razors. Yeah. So I actually did some and finding when you so we found the story on. It's been archived on creepypasta.wiki, and the link that's at the bottom of the story on the wiki has the author of the story known as Johnny with two N's in it. Like it's J-O-H-N-N-Y. And then when you click on that, it takes you actually to a archive.org Wayback Machine logged website or forum page from cracked.com. So that's where it originally came from. This story was submitted as an entry for the contest, for a contest by the author of John Dies at the End, which is a horror novel by David Wong, or Jason Pargan, as is his pen name. And the contest was basically submit a story of something really creepy that happened to you that is supposed to be true. And the winners of the story of this contest would get one of five copies of John Dies at the End. Yeah. So apparently, the author of John Dies at the End, they made this contest on cracked.com's forums in 2006, and this was one of the entries for that competition or that contest, and it actually ended up winning one of the five stories or one of the five books. So. Congrats. And in the years that have followed, apparently Johnny, sorry, what?
No, I said congrats, belated congrats. Cause how many years has it been?
Well, this is like 2006. So
yeah, a little
almost 20 years nigh on going on 20 years. But, the last few years, like, or like from then on, like till now, supposedly Johnny has gone on to say that like and claim that this story is based off of a true story, at least in his mind. So, or as best as he can recall. So, I found that really interesting. It's kind of like, the Mario kind of thing story, that we covered back in the fall, or even like kind of it sort of has those like true ghost story accounts or true haunting accounts that you hear on like various websites and various also like TV shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's a bit of the background for the couch and like why we're covering it. Now let's give our initial recommendations for it. I'm actually going to recommend it.
I'm not going to recommend it.
Okay.
Take a guess.
Partial?
Partial recommendation again. Every time Hulkus likes it and Mikey doesn't, I'm always partial. Maybe my partial.
Yeah, maybe one of us can push you off the fence to one side or the other.
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty comfy up here. I have a vantage point of like both sides of it.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Well, let's dive into the couch. let's all sit on the couch and find out exactly what it's all about and such, and why we gave these initial recommendations. Mm-hmm. Starting with the rundown, featuring Johnny.
Yes.
Yeah, I suppose it's Johnny as the narrator. So when Johnny was about 4 or 5, they were at home with their mom in Kansas, with his mom in the kitchen, and he was out in the living room playing with his marbles on a carpeted floor next to a big flower-patterned couch they had. In his excitement, Johnny's favorite marble ended up rolling under the couch. And with his dad at work and the only person that could really lift the couch up to help him get it at the marble, he had only one course of action, which was to just reach his hand out like in underneath the couch and try and fumble for the marble. After a few tries of sifting under the couch and no luck, he brought his arm out from under the couch, but something followed his arm. In fact, a blackened old woman's hand reached out for a moment as he brought his own hand out. It came out to about the wrist, and it then went back under the couch and came back with a little plastic baggie with a peculiar logo on it that at the time Johnny didn't recognize. After a few moments of Johnny not grabbing the bag from the hand, the hand retracted back with the bag underneath the couch and disappeared. Johnny walked over to his mother in the kitchen and told her about the incident, but she was quite skeptical. When Johnny's dad got home, he lifted the couch and showed that there was nothing under there except for a bunch of marbles that he had lost underneath the couch. Years went by, because that was that, like nothing ever really came about afterward. And Johnny would often recall the hand and even make up little stories about it and what it was. And eventually it kind of slipped into like a half memory or a dream of his. Like he just kind of chalked it up to like being like a childhood dream or like some kind of a half memory. But then closer to the present day, Johnny mentioned it to his mom and she remembers the events. She also went on to explain that they had gotten the couch from an estate sale of an old woman who had died on the couch. And after Nair had told his mom about the event when he was young, and about the hand and stuff of that, they had actually like soon after got rid of that couch just because it kind of freaked them out, I guess.
Yeah.
What freaks out Johnny nowadays most about this entire encounter is that he now remembers or now recognizes the logo on that little baggie for what it is. It's a logo from a hardware store for utility razor blades. Finn. So, that is our rundown of the couch. And, I suppose we'll move on to number one, tolerates the Grand Inquisitions. At this point, Mikey, D stands for evil.
I have a conjunction.
Okay.
And next stop, conjunction. Doot,
doot. But after much internal struggle and debate, I have come to the conclusion that there are things in life that simply can't be explained with reason. At least in the form in which we know it. And when it is gone, we are left alone in the dark, and everything we would scoff at by daylight suddenly becomes very believable. It was just Mommy and Daddy and me living in our little house in Great Bend, Kansas. It was the middle of the day, summer, hot, boring. But there I was, swishing the marbles back and forth, happily bouncing them into each other. It was a slim hand with tapered fingers, a woman's hand. It was gnarled and wrinkled, as if aged, and it was dead black. It waited, as if expecting me to take the bag. But here's the scary part. But here's the part that truly frightens me, even to this day. And recently, as in a few years ago, I saw the same logo again on what looked like the same type of bag in a hardware store. It was a bag of utility razor blades. Finn.
Holy shit. I was so when you started that conjunction junction, I seriously thought we were gonna go with like get like a squirrel level like fun bit where it's like talk about like oh these like the creepy things that make you like shatter your sense of reality and some of that like that kind of stuff at the beginning of the story like those kind of sentences and then like get like something like it was my favorite marble. But then you like actually they kept going like to like it started cutting to like sentences that were more about like the creepy hand and then like the baggie and like it scares me to this day. I'm terrified of it. And recently I found out about the logo. And then it goes into like the logo and being about like razor blades. It's like, holy shit, that's this conjunction junction rundown is way scarier than I expected to be. Like it's more dark. Like,
it all properly for some reason.
Yeah.
There were enough sentences that in this story that started with words that they probably shouldn't. And that's why Mikey lists these sentences in a row. It sometimes comes out with hilarious results.
Yeah. Or when sometimes like it, dark results.
Yeah, when I was hearing it, he was talking about the marbles, playing with the marbles, and then he's like, it was a hand. Like he hasn't changed subjects, so like these marbles he's playing with are just disembodied hands that he's just rolling around on the ground. That's how I saw it.
Oh, that's cool. That's creepy. It's like just like clenched fists just like rolling around. Oh man. Man, we're gonna go into some like my own personal childhood nightmares in our actual thoughts coming up, yeah, by the way.
I kind of expected.
yeah. Yeah, I think you guys all know, and I've brought up in the past about my childhood nightmares about hands. So but yeah. So gamer, I guess you're up.
Yeah, I got one, maybe. I don't know. It's
on a subject. Again, all on the fence. Again, on the fence.
Well, it's because it's I know. Something that I don't fully understand.
Okay, what is it? Yeah,
because like I don't know how to use these correctly. This might be wrong. It seems wrong to me. I'm sure I'm wrong saying that this is wrong. So you can tell me if I'm wrong about this wrongness. But the quote is: "I was very young, semicolon, only 4 or 5, comma at most, comma before either of my siblings were born." So, as far as my limited and poorly educated mind goes, I think that this is an incorrect use of a semicolon, I think, because, like, it should be used to connect two like-minded sentences that you would be connecting with a but, so, or an and, or something like that. Meanwhile, this almost sounds like it's supposed to be in brackets, or should just be commaed out.
Well, he is saying he's very young and he was only 4 or 5 to elaborate on how young he was. So it is, that part is connected.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. It just sounded weird to me.
Yeah. I think it's used correctly, but As has been pointed out to us via a certain email from a certain person who's the editor of a fan. Hi, Jess. we like semicolons are a mystery to us sometimes. Yeah.
Just because, like, reading that and hearing it in my head, the first thing I thought of, like, this sounds like it's supposed to be in brackets, but, like, that's the end of the sentence. So then the entire sentence would just be, I was very young, period. It, technically, that's the sentence because everything else is in brackets. That's why my correction that I did was, I was very young, like, only four or five at most, before either of my siblings were born.
Yeah.
Yes. Also, I feel like the comma after four or five doesn't need to be there, because as it reads, it's, I was very young, only four or five, at most, before either of my siblings were born. Meanwhile, you would be saying, like, only four or five at most, before either of my siblings were born. That's where the break would be. So,
let me have
there, I'll the hill, but, like, okay. I won't die on the semicolon hit.
Yeah. Yeah, the semicolon, actually, I did pull up the email that gives us a simple explanation for a semicolon. They can be used in place of periods between two related sentences. So,
yeah, but
that is a very simplified explanation. Entire
paragraph is related, so you could theoretically, with that logic, semicolon out an entire fucking paragraph because it's all related.
I honestly, the where it is, like, I'm now reading the sentence in the paragraph. It's like, I was very young, period.
Like, that's
only four or five at most. But yeah, but like, oh, yeah, but like, I, but that's why you would use a semicolon rather than a period, because semicolon isn't a period. It doesn't end the sentence. It continues on. It's a break, but it's not a comma, because because there's two more commas after that. Like, it's like, I was very young, semicolon, only four or five, comma, at most, comma, before either of my siblings were born. Honestly, that seems right to me. Just because, like, the semicolon is sort of like, I was very young, and then the next thing is is kind of giving more details about that. So it's almost like how we use colons to, like, I was like, here's a list of things, colon, and then you get a bunch of, like, thing, the descriptions or things. So I think it's correct the way it's used, but
it probably is, but I just hate it, and I don't think it's like a natural write it, because, like, you wouldn't be talking like that. You know, if you're just saying this like you're talking to someone, you'd be saying, I was very young, like four or five at most, before either of my siblings were born. That's how you would say it. And that's how I corrected it. And it sounds fine to me, but.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know.
See, like, yeah, for me, like, yes, that's how you would say it. But, like, when you write down, you may not want to use the like four or five. You may want to, like, make it a little bit more formal, a little bit more fancy. So you use a semicolon in place of the like as well.
But either way, that's all I got for grammar.
Okay. Then on to actual thoughts. Going to start with this one here. This quote here. Logic, for all the trust we place in it, is really nothing more than a candle, all too easily snuffed out. And when it's gone, we are left alone in the dark. And everything we would scoff at by daylight suddenly becomes very believable. All right, before I wax too melodramatically, here's my story. And to that I say, a bit too late on waxing melodramatically, but sure, let's continue the story. let's hear the story.
He's not saying that he hasn't. He doesn't want to wax more melodramatically, so he's stopping his melodramatic waxing now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's just kind of funny. It's like, all right, now I'm done melodramatically waxing. Now here's the actual story. It's like, well, I mean, all right, let's continue. much like my next, like how, let's continue to my next quote and comment. Why I was trying to roll marbles around on the carpet, I don't know. We had a perfectly good linoleum floor, after all. But there I was, swishing the marbles back and forth, happily bouncing them into each other. Then, in my overzealous enthusiasm, I rolled too hard. My favorite marble, the clear ruby red one, zipped into the dark space under the couch and was lost. This is seriously giving me some Marble Olympics flashbacks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was mean to sit there and watch, like, that entire series on
YouTube. Oh man. It's like, oh man, it'd be really funny if this story just became like a creepypasta, like about the Marble Olympics.
So specific and random.
Yeah. Somebody out there, please write a creepypasta about the Marble Olympics. I want to read it. But I'll move on to the next thing I have here. Encountering no marbles, I pulled my hand out in disappointment. Then a hand reached out from under the couch back at me. I remember the image vividly, and I suspect I always will. It was a slim hand with tapered fingers, a woman's hand. It was gnarled and wrinkled, as if aged, and it was dead black. Not black as in African, black as in dead. Of course, back then, I didn't know that corpses blacken as they decompose. So I didn't know what the black meant. You know, this kind of gives me the same kind of like vibes as like the toilet ghost encounter in The Legend of Zelda. There's actually a couple of Zelda games, like specifically, I think it started in Majora's Mask, but I think it was either started in Majora's Mask or it was in the Oracle games, where there is like a hand that pops out of one of the toilets that you can go, that you go past or something like that, and it needs like tissue paper, or it's looking for some kind of paper or something like that. And like, even, and that they even continue that on in Skyward Sword. They're like at the Skyloft Academy, there was a like a ghostly hand asking for toilet paper. Which I think that whole thing was inspired by an actual urban legend from Japan called Hanako-san, which is about like a girl who died in a bathroom and now haunts the toilet. Mm-hmm. Also a little issue I have regarding this story as archived on creepypasta.wiki. There is an image tied to this entry, at least with regards to it being like where it's listed. It doesn't pop up on the actual like story's like web page on the wiki. But when you're like browsing through like the various stories for on like in their catalog, I guess, on the wiki, there's an image, like a little thumbnail image bound to this one. And when you zoom in, it is an image of the corner of a very flowery looking couch, or like flower patterned couch. I think even with like a carpet and stuff like that, and that's well and good. The problem is the arm that's peeking out isn't blackened as described. It's kind of dark and it's got wrapping. So almost like maybe it's a severed arm prop from like for Halloween or something like that. But I sort of get more of a like a thin mummy, like Egyptian mummy kind of thing, rather than like a desiccated blackened hand. I'm just saying, like, a little Photoshop work could go a long way for like that little thumbnail for whoever controls that kind of stuff on creepypasta.wiki. But that might just be me sitting on our own couch in the nitpick nook.
It's a shame there's no picture on the actual like story itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, is it necessary though? Or like,
I'm just saying, like, didn't you say there's one on the thumbnail?
Yeah, there's a thumbnail. Yeah, there's a little like, there's one on the thumbnail. It doesn't actually appear though on the actual like the actual site where the story is.
That's what I mean. It's kind of weird that it's on a thumbnail that's not here.
It's true. Yeah. Like I had to actually like dig to find it. Like I couldn't like, I had to actually like not look for it on the site where it was, but like go through like the listing and then like open the image in a different tab to actually like zoom it in a bit. Oh no, I had to use Google. I actually had to use Google Image to find it, because when I type in the couch creepypasta, the thumbnail, it shows up on the Google Images, and I can actually like zoom in and get like a better like view of it. But you can't actually do that in the wiki, as far as I could tell. But yeah. Yeah, even like, I guess like an image of like, I guess if you were to have an image with the story, like include with the story, like at the very end, maybe even have like a picture of like the couch itself. Maybe don't have the hand, but like just the couch.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where a very mundane and normal picture can look creepy because of context.
Yeah, because like once you're like, or even at the very end, there's like a photo of like an emptied baggie of like those utility razors. Mm-hmm. With that logo that he didn't recognize until like very like till later on, and then have that pop up at the very end of the story so that you can get like a proper visual for them. But But yeah, I'll move on to the next thing I have here. For years, I remembered this. I even developed a weird fantasy of little hand people living under the couch. And I, in my childlike innocence, believed that they could, or that they would catch me and take me away if I ever reached out in, if I ever reached into their domain again. Okay. So again, like, now I'm getting a even better visual of the marble hands or the hand marbles. It was an inside job. Oh man, it would be like, it's like, if it wasn't marbles, if it was like, does anybody remember those like oddball, like those like rubber, those like grotesque rubber balls from the 90s?
Yes, I forget what they're called. Yes.
Yeah, I think they might have been called oddballs or something like that. But yeah, like if one was like not so much a head, but it was just like a hand, like clenched fist and some of that. And like this guy just collected like just the hand ones, and then like it turned out they were actually like they could unravel and like were actually like some kind of sentient creature. That would be really creepy. but back to my actual comment for this quote and like the story at hand. I do like the overall setup for the story, and I could even see using this in gameable material. Again, not just the with the marble hands or the hand marbles being real and stuff like that, but something tied to that. Maybe for a game where you're tracking down haunted or cursed objects and you stumble upon this, where a family experiences strange occurrences around the couch, maybe even go as far as this child's imagination and the child is taken by strange hand-like creatures. And when I was writing that down, I was like, I literally put in brackets, wow, this is actually delving into my own childhood nightmares about severed hands coming to get me. Because I would definitely have nightmares of where I would, or I guess they were probably like bordering onto sleep paralysis, where I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I couldn't move. And I was just in my bed, and I'd slowly see like thing style hands, slowly skittering up, like skittering through my doorway and up my walls, like toward me.
Yeah, that's sleep paralysis for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely a sleep paralysis thing. for the longest time, I was also afraid of the space between my bed and my wall at my cottage, because I would have, again, like sleep paralysis or nightmare, where I'd be like just half asleep, but I would feel somebody like tap my back if I turned away from, like, I had to always face the wall, because if I faced away from the wall, that's when they would like creepily like start like touching my neck and like tap my back.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unfortunate to be scared like that as a child, but
yeah. Nice. At the time, obviously, I was like terrified and freaked out. Now I can talk about it in like a lighter, like in a sort of like separated way. And yeah, there's even an instance where like I accidentally put my hand down into the space, and I got and like something held it for a moment. Yeah. No. So yeah. I think I blame Adam's family and the thing, or and thing.
Oh, but I think Adam's family, like the guy that you know, Adam from.
No. No, not RPX Adam.
No, it's no, not like
no, like the show, the Adam's family, or the movies.
I legitimately thought you were blaming Adam's family for a second. That's not a joke.
That's awesome. But yeah, I blame that. And I think there's a couple of like Goosebumps or Are You Afraid of the Dark episodes that dealt with like severed hands. And there's this movie that I still have not yet, I don't think I've found the title for of yet. Stephen King's Quicksilver Highway, a movie from 1997. And the segment was The Body Politic. But it was like basically like a hand revolt. Like hands became sentient. And like it was like a spreading situation, and they would just like revolt against the rest of their bodies and like start cutting themselves off with whatever implement they could find, or like dragging the body away like to a saw blade or a knife or something like that. It was a movie. I'm sure it was a movie.
Idle Hands, is it?
No, although Idle Hands was also one that I hated growing up, but it was not Idle Hands. It was really weird. Like it's sort of like a half baked memory in my mind that like fuels nightmares.
I just handle like, Evil Dead because that should happen to Evil Dead too, right?
Oh shit, you're right. In Evil Dead, yeah. I don't know. Like it might be a movie. It might have been like a made for TV thing. But it wasn't like Evil Dead. It wasn't like Are You Afraid of the Dark or anything like that. It was like a movie I saw like late at night. And I, to this day, I have not been able to figure out what it was or where it came from. Now that we've gone into my full on, like now that we've like deconstructed my own personal nightmare. I'll continue what my thought here about like using this for gameable material.
Right. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. So have like, again, the gameable idea is like, take it to that next step that the character in the story has where like they, there are like hand-like creatures that like take the child and like you're there to investigate and try and find out what happened to the child. And like, eventually the players have to find a way to trigger the, trigger entry into the undercouch realm. And like maybe there are other children down there, or like at least their souls that have been like down there for a while as this couch is like kind of gone from like kind of exchanged hands, as it were.
Children have exchanged hands, but
that's why there was a pause there, because I realized like the next thing I was about to say was basically an unintentional hand joke or hand pun. But yeah, so maybe you have like after the characters like get into the undercouch realm and like deal with these weird creepy hand creatures, they can like free the souls of the children and like rescue the one child that's still alive. Like the most recent one. And then it could even be that this is some creepy nightmare gap or opening to a network of like death ways to the underworld. And like under certain circumstances of death, the veil weakens to allow this unfortunate opening to a realm beyond life. And like the hands are actually just sort of that, like a manifestation of that gesture, like take my hand. I'll take you hand in hand to the afterlife kind of thing, but it's like become twisted, and what have you by, the circumstances of like who died on the couch and such. I could really see this being used in a few systems, but right now, because Vossen is just like has infected my brain, it makes me want to use the Mythic Modern supplement that is on DriveThruRPG for Vossen, that I've just been itching to try and use. So like I feel like this could be a good opportunity to try that. But yeah, you can really use this in like Cthulhu or Deltagreen or Esoterist, Fear Itself, like any of those modern horror systems.
It doesn't even have to be like tied to just a couch demon. It could be literally just any shadowy space that's underneath stuff, really low to the floor in your entire house. Like, a dresser or under the bed and all that. Cause like, that's another thing that a lot of people find scary is like, there's something under the bed that's going to get me, you know?
Yeah. I was just thinking like
all one and the same creature.
And the link is, well, like, couches are often used as beds, so this is just another version of like the monster under your bed, like you said. And then or if you want to even like go elaborate on that, like it's all been one monster, like the creature under your bed, the creature under the couch, the creature in your closet, under the stairs that like grabs you. It's always like something grabbing you and pulling you, or like either tripping you or pulling you in. So it's like they're all the same creature. It's just like they just need that darkness under various objects in the house. Hell, if you wanted to kind of like tie this more to like a Vossen of some kind, you could have it be like a an evil or corrupted or like just pissed off domovoy, which is like basically like a house spirit in Slavic countries. It's like a spirit, like sort of like a gnomish, goblinish kind of creature that usually helps around the house as long as it's given like offerings or if like the family is nice to it and stuff. But like they, as with a lot of like fairy folk and stuff of that, like if you don't give offerings or if you're a dick to the, or if you don't believe in the spirits and stuff, like that, sometimes they get a little rowdy or they get pissed off and they just start like acting out. Mm-hmm. So that could be what this is basically just like a pissed off domovoy that's used to being like, being in a friendly relationship or like an acknowledged relationship with the house that house owners. But maybe if like some new family moves in or like a new family buys this couch that this thing is linked to, it begins setting up shop and it gets pissed off that it's not getting offerings for like its hard work for like it's helping things around the house, like in small ways. And, no one's acknowledging it because we live in an age of skepticism and don't believe in those kind of traditions anymore. So it could be just like, fuck you guys.
Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you. It could just be like the whole aspect of this horror story could just be a misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. Which is the worst kind, the most tragic kind of horror.
It really is.
Yeah.
Also, just the way you're describing that reminded me of like, I was just thinking like it could just be a common hob or something like that. Like, have you seen, I don't know if it's a new game or not, but I noticed Game Grumps started playing it recently. Home Safety Hotline.
I've heard of it. I haven't checked it out yet.
It's basically you are, not tech support, but you're an on telephone support person that people call in when they have some sort of problem in their house, whether it's like, there's some weird noises in the walls, this, that, and the other, and you can tell them, oh, it's just mice or something. But the more days you go through, the more that the company like gives you access to more stuff. Like, here's information on what a stair slug is, which is a dog-sized slug that stays in along the staircase to your basement, or a common hob, which is just like this little goblinoid creature that like cleans up your house, but like you don't know he's there.
Oh, that's basically like that's straight out of Vossen, like a common hob, a house hob. Yeah. Oh man, now I'm just thinking it's like the North American house hob.
It does kind of sound like that.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that I might have to check that out. I know Gab Smolders has done some videos. I know, and I've seen, I think, Jacksepticeye, and I think I saw the Grumps like a thumbnail for them when I was on my feed, but I haven't checked it out yet.
Yeah, considering the Game Grumps have played it, it's probably been out for a year, so everyone else has probably played the shit out of it already. They're a little slow. But so are we, so it's fine.
I was going to say, like, we're not much better certain things. Yeah, exactly. We're not much better with, like, certain, like, creepypasta material. Like, we still haven't really, we've never really covered or addressed the Channel Zero show, which is straight, we should have at this point, but we've never done it.
You've referenced it enough that I feel like we have.
We actually have to do like a al dente real talk sometime about it. Okay. But yeah, I guess that's for another time. I digress. I'll move on. So this is the next quote I have. Then a few years ago, I recounted the story to my mother. She gave me a funny look and told me she remembered it because, after all, she had been there. And to this, I was like, this kind of gave me like, I'm not saying this story like ripped it off or like the story or Candle Cove ripped this off, but this kind of gave me Candle Cove vibes, like the original Candle Cove story, where the characters are all talking on the forum about this weird like kid show and some of that. And then one of the posters at the very end gets a verification from their mother of something weird they saw or did when they were a kid. Like in Candle Cove, it was like, I'm going to go watch Candle Cove now, mom. And then the mom just watches the kid go and watch Static for 30 minutes. Like, and that's what happens in Candle Cove. And this one, it's like, yeah, it's the same kind of instance. Like the kid just like calmly walks over to his mother and says, there's a hand under the couch. and then like years later, the kid is grown up and asks and like tells like, yeah, I had this, remember this like weird story. Or this weird thing I remember from like my childhood about like this this hand in the under the old couch, and the mom's like, yeah, that happened. I was there. That was fucked up and creepy. We got rid of that couch like months later.
The next day.
Yeah. It does say like a couple of weeks later or like months later or something, or like sometime later. But yeah, you definitely know that it was definitely like the next day, like after a talk with the dad, they're like, we need to get rid of this couch.
Yeah.
he wasn't like hysterical about it. He was like stone cold, like assertive that this thing happened. Like, I no longer trust this couch, especially after we got it from an estate sale where a person died on it. It's like, it was very, very much like a creepypasta. I think that is just like a ghost story or like a spooky campfire story kind of trope of just like that, getting that verification from your parent, like, or from somebody or from an adult that was there years later for like confirmation from like a childhood event. But yeah, it's just it's a good trope, or it's a good narrative device. And the next thing I have here, this is actually regards to like what I was just saying about like them like getting all freaked out by the couch and selling it like sometime later. Then she told me about the couch itself. According to her, she and dad had gotten the couch from the estate of an old woman who had actually died on it. And you see, this is why I both love going to and dread buying from restore markets or thrift stores. You never know if that secondhand item you're getting is going to be haunted.
Yeah, but that's also why you buy from secondhand and thrift stores, because you don't know if that thing is haunted.
Hence why I said, that's why I love going to and also dread. Like, I love and dread buying from restore.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, case in point what? Sorry?
The Zelda game. Was that from a thrift store? I don't remember.
It was from EB Games. It was previously owned. So
yes.
Hence when I opened it up and turned it on for the first time and saw Ben on the first save file, I was like, nope. Mm-hmm. Just like you can't see it, but I like literally like pantomime me just like pushing with both hands the DS away from me on the desk. Again, I love it and dread it at the same time.
Yeah, it's a thanks I hate it situation.
Exactly. Yeah. Again, see the whole thing of like, if I have to die, I'd rather die. I died as I lived, immersed in creepypasta.
That will be on your tombstone.
Yeah. Yeah. Review cultist. Beloved son and uncle died as he lived, immersed in creepypasta. And just imagine like years down the road after that, it's like somebody walking down like the rows of cemeteries and stuff like that, checking out like all the different like tombstones and stuff like that, and reads that and just like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
was it an unfortunate like spaghetti factory accident?
Oh, because they don't even know what creepypasta is at that point.
Yeah, like it's at this point, like the lingo's changed, so it's like it's changed from like creepypasta to like some other branding, but or just somebody that's just not in the know, like internet wise about it, or the people that know, it's like that scene, it's like that meme with like Mr. Fantastic. It's like, died as he lived, immersed in creepypasta. It's like he doesn't know, so it's like, oh, I guess he died in like an unfortunate spaghetti factory accident. And then it's like the same image, but it's been like filtered through like black and white and like some distortion, and it's just like, again, like died as he lived, immersed in creepypasta. It's like, if you know, you know. It's like, what happened here?
Also, I hate to say, that is not Mr. Fantastic.
No, you're right. It's Mr. Incredible. God damn it. God damn it. Man, I am so off today on like referencing. Oh, man. Thank you for correcting me.
No problem.
Holy shit.
You got half it right. It's Mr. Something.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to move on to my last note here. this is about the ending bit we get. But here's the part that truly frightens me, even to this day. The part that I have to try so hard to get out of my mind some nights. Remember that bag, the hand pushed towards me? I've never forgotten the logo that was on it. And recently, as in a few years ago, I saw the same logo again on what looked like the same type of bag in a hardware store. It was a bag of utility razor blades. Okay, so that's basically the end of the story there. We get that little revelation or that little like kind of reveal, I suppose. This actually, when I read this the first time, it kind of gave me a slight shiver, but like in a sad, creepy way. Like, cause to me, when I read this, it insinuates that, the ghost killed herself with razor blades. And like, that was what was handed to her and stuff like that. Like, so like she maybe for some reason asking to like, it's like, would you be a dear and get rid of this bag? I don't need it anymore. Like in a sad, creepy way. Or that's like, that's how I saw it. But also like, please, sir, can I have some more?
Wow.
Or as just like, again, just like it's all that was left. Like, or like all that was like left. Maybe it's that bag is somewhere inside the upholstery, like, or like under, like it was just like buried in the cushions or something like that. And so it's sort of like a simulacrum, or like it's not actually the couch that is keeping this ghost bound. It's that baggie that's like in the couch. That is actually the ghost's focus. Because we get that little like bit of detail of like, oh, it was a little baggie that the ghost was giving of like these razor blades. I was like, oh, that probably means that's how the ghost died, or how the woman died. She slit her wrists and died on the couch. Yep. And to me, that's like it. Like, first off, I get kind of like squeaky whenever like razor blades and that kind of insinuation come out, because like I hate it. Like, I don't know. I've never done any of that kind of shit. I don't think I've had any family members that have ever like done that kind of stuff. But I just like have a very visceral reaction when it comes to like to the implementation of razors to wrists. I don't know why. It just creeps me fuck out. Squeaks me out.
I mean, it's not a good time.
No, it isn't. I think it's just like, yeah, I think maybe there's some kind of like reaction to it. But yeah, it is a very strong type of symbolism for like suicide and such. Maybe yeah. That's where it comes from.
It's equivalent to like a Japanese, the Japanese form of it, seppuku?
Oh, yeah, seppuku, yeah.
Seppuku, yeah. It's like the Western equivalent of that almost, but like way more like mundane and like frequent one, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but I get what you're saying. It's like this, it's something that is, it's a very, very strong symbol of like self-harm in the West. And I'm sure it's also like also across the world, but like specifically like for us, like in America and some of that, it's in North America, it's very, unfortunately, it's very common.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's also like why, because maybe that's why it punched me so much, is because early on, because it's describing the hand is like this old, frail, like blackened, decomposed body or like decomposed hand. I just, and then we find out that it was an old, like a woman, like a woman who had died. I assumed that it was like an old woman who just passed away on the couch. And then to get this real, this sort of reveal, it's like, oh no, it was self-inflicted. She didn't die peacefully of like natural causes. She likely died of self-harm. And that makes this not just, it makes it creepy in a very tragic, like kind of like in a very tragic way.
Yeah.
So it gets me on like several levels, I think.
Also, in regards to the ghost handing the baggie off, I didn't see it in either of the ways that you saw it. I saw it as really like a more malevolent way, as in like the ghost is handing razor blades to a child. The child is going to accidentally hurt himself.
See, the thing about the story is like it. I interpreted that it was like a see-through bag, so there was nothing in the bag. If there had been, it doesn't say it, but if it had mentioned that it was an opaque bag, like there was no, like you couldn't see through it, but there was some, there maybe was something in the bag, like that makes it that much more, that makes the reveal at the end much harder, because then suddenly you get more malevolent. It's like, here, child, like that's fucked up.
Yeah. Cause I saw like, it as like basically like a Walmart bag, like that kind of, like just a completely solid, like gray sort of bag.
Okay. Yeah. Like that kind of plastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes it so much worse, honestly. Like if that's, cause that's, and that's also very in tune with like supposed like ghost encounters and, or like ghost nature and stuff like that, because ghosts who die in that kind of way, they die in misery. Usually it's like, usually like the strong emotion of like sadness and misery. And that is an infectious, like curse like thing when they die, when they're ghosts. So they need to have it. They need to spread that infection or that sadness. So, or they have to spread that misery to feel anything better. Mm. So yeah, that makes it even more like kind of malevolent and stuff like that than what I was thinking. Thanks. I hate it.
I'm the dark one here today for some reason.
Yeah. But yeah, that's my actual thoughts. So Mikey, these stands for evil. What do you've got?
Alright. Well, I'm not going to do my notes in order. I'm just going to do them based on the last thing that was said, which was, so it's assumed that the person died in the couch and used razor blades.
Yeah.
But there's no mention of blood stains all over this couch.
This is true.
Like,
they keep on reupholstered. they can get couches clean, especially if it's an estate sale. Like if they said they got it from an estate of an old woman, the estate likely had the couch reupholstered if there wasn't too much blood.
Cheaper to just throw it out. Like
in some cases, yeah. In some cases, yes. Yeah, it is very peculiar. Like, but that is something that does happen in real life. Like they do reupholster furniture that somebody has died on. So
yeah. Now the next thing is with the plastic bag reveal at the end that it was for razor blades. From my experience, razor blades don't come in plastic bags. They're usually in either a hard plastic casing or in cardboard. Because they would rip right through a plastic bag.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the logo is the logo for the manufacturer of the razor blades. So it wouldn't be in a plastic bag.
Hang on. I'm actually going to Google this. Like 1980s, 1990s.
Because yeah, the only way that they would be able to be in a plastic bag is if they were also in a little cardboard box inside the plastic bag.
You know what?
Yeah.
You're absolutely correct. I could be wrong. Like if somebody out there can find something, can find a, an image or something of something that is contrary to what I'm finding right now online. I'm going back like 1990s, 1980s, 1970s, plastic bags, utility razor blades on Google Images. And all I'm finding is either see-through plastic containers or cardboard boxes. I'm not seeing a baggie as described in the story. 1950. Yeah.
Hence why I thought it was more like a store's little baggie. Like you buy something and you want a bag for that. Sure.
Okay. Yeah. I can see that too.
But,
yeah.
But then the problem is that it's insinuated that it's the manufacturer of the blades because he only saw that symbol on razor blades in the store.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe if it had been correctly, maybe if it had been like kind of, it had been tweaked or written the way. So like as a kid, he didn't recognize the little metal things that were in the bag, but that's why like it keeps him up at night and why like for years, because he realizes now as he got older, he realized what those metal things were, because he's seen them multiple times over the course of his life. They were razor blades. Like, if he had actually seen
them, if they were in a clear plastic bag.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, but if he had seen like these little metal things like poking out through the little plastic bag or something like that, as a kid, like, and then you save that for the sake of the story, because he's writing the story to be kind of a spooky story. He would save that revelation until the very end of like, growing up, I finally realized what those metal things were. It was razor blades. But yeah. Yeah, that's it. It's interesting. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly just kind of took it for with a grain of salt that like, okay, I guess like utility razor blades from hardware stores are sold in like a heavy plastic bag or something, like a heavy plastic little bag. Like,
no.
Yeah, yeah, I've been proven wrong.
Yeah, so that's my issue with the ending. And then my next issue is with the mom remembering something that happened years ago in regards to a couch that they only had for a couple months. That to me is highly unlikely, because human memory doesn't usually last that long, and it's been years. So unless she has a constant reminder about this couch for some reason, it's highly unlikely that she would remember.
It's also possible that she remembers because it's a traumatic event.
That right there. Also, I can definitely I can counter that with my own mother's memory of things I did as a baby that she 100% remembers, despite it only being referenced one time. And then whenever more recently, like when we had like family, like just family, like conversations with like relatives and stuff. And she's like, oh, remember when Cultus was a wee baby and he did this thing and this thing? I was like, how the fuck do you remember that? It was like, oh, it was something you did that like stayed in my memory. Like, mothers have this instinctual thing to like remember small like events that like, and especially with like this, the case of this story, something that stands out in the childhood of that, of their kid.
Yeah, but it's more something that stands out because it's not something the kid would normally do. But, and I guess that's partial because it said he was a quiet kid growing up and he just walked up like, there's a hand under the couch. Like,
there's a hand under the couch, mommy. A little, like an old woman's hand is like, oh, fuck that. What the fuck? Like, yeah.
It's a shift. Yeah, so I feel like she'd remember.
Yeah. 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 I'm in agreement with Gamer on that. Like, it's, it's a very minor, but it still probably would be like a freaky, maybe not traumatic, like borderline traumatic kind of freaky event for the mother as much as the child. Because the mother is like a little bit more like
she was
conscious
aware
about
of the spookiness at the time where the child wasn't.
Yeah, it's like, again, the niece Cultus has done some things when she was a baby. I'm sure she doesn't remember, but that shit's gonna stick with me.
She has scarred you.
Yeah, I still remember when she was when she was like 3 or 4, actually about the same age as this kid, and talking about like the stick witch that lives in her closet, and at night it opens the closet door and crawls around her ceiling. And is like this weird thing that's made of sticks and spider parts and stuff.
Fine.
That shit's staying in my brain for it. Like, I'm bringing that up at her wedding.
It's literally just a daddy long legs.
Yeah, but for her,
one
like,
spider.
Yeah, or like again, like the there's countless other things like that. Me and her mom both like have heard her say that we both like years later we're still recounting. Like, remember when niece Cultus did this? I was like, yeah, that was fucked up and weird. Like, we definitely have a niece slash daughter who is just like really fucked up and creepy, but we've definitely raised her to like spooky things. But yeah, not to like start throwing it like throwing at this thing, but like along with Gamer here, I think like, you're not giving the parent credit for like remembering weird, isolated things in a childhood's life.
Yeah. Well, it just doesn't resonate with me.
Okay, that's fair.
All right, so the next thing, bringing it back to the title.
Yes. The couch.
The couch. But before reading anything beyond the title, my mind was thinking, what possible creepiness could this entail? And my mind went to a demonic couch that eats couch potatoes.
Oh God, that's good. That's a good schlocky movie idea, movie pitch. That's also a really good idea for a game, for like game of material. Just like this couch has passed hands like multiple times. Like, and like after the owner disappears, like what's going on? And it's just like, yeah, no, it's just, it's eating lazy couch potato, like people who sit on it too long.
Of course it does. You straight up said it passes hands. So hands come out of the back of it as it digests the bodies.
Yeah. It's really just a modern day mimic. Oh my God. I could just stat this as a mimic and be done with it. That's awesome. Gamer, I'm sorry. There's going to be some... Don't trust couches, you know, in any games I run.
I trust anything in anything you run. It's fine.
That's fair, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the end of my actual thoughts.
God damn it. How do you make things better? Every fucking time. Or like... Yeah. I mean, god damn it in a good way. Wow. Gamer, you're up, I guess.
Yeah. See what I got left. This is just a quote I kind of like. Logic for all the trust we put in it is really nothing more than a candle, all too easily snuffed out. And when it's gone, we are left alone in the dark, and everything we would scoff at by daylight suddenly becomes very believable. I just like the way that is.
Yeah. As melodramatic as it is, it's also kind of a very true statement.
Yes, for sure. And then I read this line. We were a young family without much money. Most of our furniture was secondhand. And the first thing I thought was, including the couch, which has a secondhand, and then edit later on. Yes, it does.
Oh, no. It's it's secondhand as in... Oh, God damn it.
The hands. There's probably a secondhand too.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah. Well, and then regarding... the look of the hand itself, like a black decomposing woman's hand. What if this happened around Halloween? It's entirely possible that the hand is actually just the mom's hand, who was just wearing a black latex glove. And she just like snuck up behind the couch and just spooked her child. Like Johnny took long enough and was spooked long enough that she could have snuck back into the kitchen as well. It's entirely possible that this is entirely mundane.
It could be completely mundane, yeah.
Yeah.
But then, and then
as a final, like, nail in the coffin for the joke that the spook that they pulled. They just didn't like the couch anyways. They were going to get rid of it. So, like, okay, we just spook the shit out of the kid before we get rid of it.
Let's traumatize our 4-year-old child and long con it. And just long con gaslight him throughout his entire life.
Yep.
And then, like, we get an update like years later from the story. It's like, so my mother passed away recently, but on her deathbed, she revealed that it goes into this whole, how she like, it's like, son, I'm sorry. The whole hand thing in the couch has all been a con. It's all been it was me. Yeah, it's like, come closer, son, come closer. I need to say something to you. Gotcha. I was the hand. I was the
The longest con ever.
Wow, that's just like, that is almost a Dumb and Dumber like like bit. Wow. I like how like That was definitely both mundanifying and also making some critical silly limits.
Yes, like, it had to happen at some point.
Yes. We really just ran the gambit from like really dark shit to like, wow, goofy.
We have to balance out the darkness.
That's true, yeah.
It's like, what do you expect us to be like scared here?
No. And no, what is this? Creepypasta?
It's not supposed to be scary.
You sure about that?
No, I'm not. And yes, I'm joking. Everyone, don't worry.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that's about all I got for notes, honestly. I chimed in on everything else.
Yeah. I definitely think your malicious take is way better than my like sad. It's weird. I feel like the malicious take is more of a comfort blanket, like a safety blanket than like dealing with the actual sad, scary shit of like a suicide ghost.
Because one of them, okay, they're both ghosts, but one of them is more realistic, quote unquote. Because it's sadder and stuff like that. Whereas as soon as you put a malicious overtone on it, you can be like, oh, well, it's just some demon, blah, 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 blah. It's not real.
Yeah. You know,
but
yeah. Although actually not to counter you, but I'm going to counter you.
Go for it.
Often what you just described is actually more what we get in like ghost events or haunting event, like haunting encounters on like from like real world hauntings and stuff is like the ghost being malicious and stuff. Yeah.
Do you believe real world hauntings?
I mean, honestly, it's like literally a case by case basis. Like,
yeah,
sometimes it's just probably an overactive imagination. Sometimes there's shit you can't explain. So, or it's not easily explained. So yeah.
I want to believe.
I do. I am Mulder in this situation. I wish I had that fucking poster, like the little UFO above like some forest is like, I want to believe. But, so that's all you got then?
Yeah, that's about all I got left.
All right. Then I suppose we'll move on to final thoughts. I'm going to still recommend it. It's short, sweet, and has a surprisingly good creepy payoff for me at the end, while staying at the grounded level of a lot of those, like, again, like I said, true, in quotes, ghost encounters, which, I mean, this may actually be based on a past experience by this author, and they've just kind of like flowered it up a little bit for this this contest that they entered. And I mean, they won one of the copies of the book. So obviously other people had a similar as Cultus just goes brain dead for a second.
similar thoughts on the story, similar likings.
Yeah, similar thoughts on similar experiences of when reading the story. So like, yeah, who's to say if this is actually like a true event or if this is something that the author fabricated? Even they kind of leave it kind of vague. Like, it's like they say it's true. Like over the years, they've said it's true, but like at least in their mind, or take it as you will. So like, they kind of leave it intentionally ambiguous as to whether the factualness of the story or the truth behind the story. But regardless, that's also a good way of like keeping a story kind of creepy in for the immersion aspect of it, because like, it leaves it to the reader to try and like figure out if they believe the story is true or if this is just a piece of fiction. So,
yeah, because for me, immersion is like everything. If you can't be immersed in the story, you don't believe it. If you don't believe it, you're not going to be scared. But
yeah, exactly. So that's why I'm going to recommend this story. Mikey, the E stands for evil.
Well, for me, the ending ruins it. Because it's a bag of utility razor blades, which doesn't make any sense to me logically.
Somebody out there, please prove us wrong. I'm sorry, just a quick thing. You know Brownie's going to hunt down a baggie of razor blades. He is a handyman, and like he likes to like build things and stuff like that. So he's like, if anybody's going to try and find a hardware store style baggie of like utility razor blades, it's going to be Brownie.
Yeah. So Yeah, the that and then the fact that the mother remembering doesn't resonate with me just doesn't help the story for me at all. Like when you take it, there's basically a creepy hand that has a bag underneath the couch, and like Gamer said, this could be Halloween. It could be a trick or treat bag for all we know.
This is like, just another
candy kid.
Or this is another take on the whole like razor blades in the candy or apples.
But yeah, it's, and then like they said, there's no mention that the couch was reupholstered because of all the blood. Because again, once we get the razor blade ending, it's assumed that the person who died in the couch used the razor blades on themselves to finish themselves off, which is a lot of blood being spewed out.
It might have been, it might have been on the floor. It might have just been on, again, like maybe they just drooped their arms off the carpet or off the couch to go onto the carpet. Yeah, there's also a lot of assumptions. So, and we know what that means on the show. It makes an ass of you an umption. So,
So, overall, I'm still not going to recommend this.
Okay, fair enough. Gamer, are you still teetering on the precipice of that that fence?
I don't know. I've been falling with one side or the other the entire time. The revelation of the baggie of razor blades, I was really tumbling to the one side. I had to like grab onto the top to not fall off. It's kind of hard. That being said, for what it is, which is a short, creepy pasta with limited grammar issues, honestly, it's pretty competent when you look at it like that. However, to me, the ending is a little weak. Like it's laid out like it's supposed to be some big revelation. But it's so it's soft. Like, instead of a whoa, it's more of a, okay. At least that's the kind of vibe I got when I read it. It just didn't hit hard.
Weird. Okay.
So that's why
it's not hard. Yeah.
And, like, it's written okay. The premise is good. But it doesn't capitalize on the whole premise and everything. It's a good short story. It's fine. But it's not more than that. Hence why partial. Realistically, the mention of razor blades in a baggie doesn't actually hurt my feeling on the story. It should be in a little box, probably. But yeah. Like, even with me viewing the razor blades in a more malicious tone, it's still... It took me a bit to get there, because it's like, here's a baggie. And then I found out that the baggie is razor blades. And then I had to be like, okay... So a baggie of razor blades, that means she may commit suicide. Then why would she give it to the kid? Is it malicious? Like, I had to do a bunch of thinking instead of just being, bam, that happened. Bam, it's malicious. Try to kill the kid. Bam, right away. Bam. Like, there was no bam. It was like a really, really slow burn that I had to do the footwork for, you know?
Instead yeah, it was there's no sudden gunshot. It was more of like a As a fuse is being lit and like slowly going down a very long fuse to a bomb, and even the bomb like
yes,
it exactly. Like, or it's one of those comedic bombs that just says bang.
Yeah, doesn't exactly. Actually. Okay,
so that was my
story.
It's just the ending the reveal ending didn't have enough of a reveal, basically, at least not enough impact of the reveal, in my opinion.
Okay.
But it is still a relatively good story for what it is.
So is that a partial?
Yeah, it's still... partial.
Okay.
Yeah.
Still on that fence.
Yeah, because it's good, but there's enough stuff that bothered me or didn't impact me enough that I'm still leaving a partial. I can't recommend it one way or another.
Gotcha.
Is the true definition
okay. of partial. Yeah. All right. So I guess that's, yeah. One full recommendation, one partial recommendation, and one non-recommendation. So do with that what you will, audience. Yeah. If you decide to check out this story yourself.
If your mind is anything like any of ours, then you may think the same way.
Exactly. But that will be it for this week's episode. So if you like what you heard, or if you didn't, leave us a comment in the comment section below where this gets posted. Whether it be on... Nope. we're all on Twitter. Mikey's at the East Stands for Evil. The Gamer and Yell is at the Gamer and Yell, but without that W at the end, because the name is very long.
Yeah.
And I'm at Review Cultist. I'm also on Blue Sky as Review Cultist, so you can check me out there. You can also send us emails at aldentebrigamortis@gmail.com. That's aldentebrigamortis@gmail.com. Where you can also leave us suggestions for other creepypastas, SCPs, spooky things. You creep it, we'll peep it. Yeah! And if you'd like to help support our show financially, you can go to Patreon. Select the back tier that supports that. We have $2 and $5 tiers with special episodes, early access, extra content. To all our patrons helping support the show, thank you immensely. You're helping keep those hosting bills at bay. As always, we very much appreciate that. And to our listeners and the authors of these stories, thank you immensely. Because without your listenership, it'd be like screaming into the void, underneath a couch, in the dark, where hands grab you. Mm-hmm. And if you're and if you didn't write these stories and submit them to online contests and get your story archived and seen online, we really wouldn't have much of a show because we have nothing to talk about. So thank you. Until next time, I've been your host, Review Cultist.
I'm Mikey, the East Ends Evil.
And I'm the Gamer in Yellow.
And this has been Al Dente Rigamortis. Sleep well.